Hey, Dan. Dan, can you do your mic? There you go, thank you.
So we have a quorum at six people, and so we can have a meeting. Do we have anybody unusual here? No? Everybody's been here before? Anybody need to be introduced? Okay. How about the minutes? Everybody read the minutes? Nobody read the minutes? You've read the minutes?
I've read the minutes, but I also have a correction.
Okay.
If you look on the good of the order, I think I was the one that commented on Greg Harrington's article in the Clark County Museum's publication.
The article on that, he's the one on the board of Amway.
Where's this at?
The good of the order is on there.
I'm sorry, I'm still live. Okay.
It says he, it should be Tim Malinowski.
Yes.
He was, he's a member of the museum. But I mentioned the question.
Since Greg's on the call, I think the group ought to congratulate him on a wonderful article.
So you got that change to get made?
Yeah, we'll make sure that change is made.
Okay.
And yes, Greg Harrington, the author of the book, is online, and thank you, Greg, for your contribution to the railroad.
It's an excellent story of the history of that line.
So just a reminder to everyone, please use your mic. Some of the folks online are having a tough time hearing.
Okay, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as amended. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are accepted as amended. I have no comments at this time. Nobody here from PVJR. So I guess we'll hear from BY6.
I'll push the green button. Hey, thanks, everybody. We've been, obviously, we're not running now. We're going to start running, hopefully, Mother's Day weekend. We've been doing a lot of maintenance up at Chulachi, at trying to get our area, get it ready so we can move cars out of the way should PVJR resume their intent of commercial operations. We've replaced about 175 ties up in the mill area where we were occupied. 45 of those were switch ties, so we've got all of our switches back engaged, back nailed down. The guys running the track crew said he's used about 1,000 spikes up there, which is just nice work. Last week, we observed, we were notified we have a rock slide around milepost 23.8, 23.9. Kevin's got some pictures of it, I think. We took a little field trip up there, Kevin and Doug and I. There's something in the area of 40 to 50 cubic yards of rock and dirt that come down on the track. It's just basalt. It's got ice water in behind it, and probably with the cold that we had, just froze and broke off big pieces. I mean, these are seriously big pieces. So it's out of the scope of what we maintain. We take care of individual rocks, but we can't take care of something that big. So we'll be working with Kevin to get that accomplished.
Is it on the track?
Huh?
Is it actually on the track?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And on the track, plus within the interference zone that we can't get by it. You know, there's some, the biggest rock is not on the track. It's sitting on the side up against the hill. But I don't think we have enough clearance, or it's impaired clearance, to get by. It's a big rock. And the one rock, that one out there, the biggest one, is probably eight, six, 5 feet high, five feet square, about 8 feet long. So it's a pretty good size rock. Like I said, 40 to 50 yards is what I'm estimating is down there, plus a pretty good sized tree that came down with it. So that, we have to take care of that. We did find a bad tie, which I think Kevin hopefully will talk about later, in the bridge, Bridge 23. So that's out of service to us until that's fixed. We can take maintenance away across it, but not any of the equipment. We did have some vandalism of one of our coaches in Yakult. It's got a padlock on it, and it's a wooden door, and somebody felt that it'd be appropriate to kick it in. And they did not get into the coach. There was nothing really in the coach for them to take. But nevertheless, we have a volunteer making a new door for us. It was beat up pretty bad. The other little bit of vandalism we had is some local youngsters decided to, we had a cart on the tracks, a work cart like you carry bundles of ties on. And they walked it up to a switch and then walked it over a switch that had them locked out and sat on it around milepost 27. And they got caught up close to milepost 29, pushing it up the track, riding on it. Yeah. So the sheriff got involved with it and had a conversation with the kids' parents about their adventure. And we had to go out and retrieve it. I took my speeder out and set it on the tracks and went up and hitched it up and pulled it back into town and then buried it where they can't get it back out. So that's kind of what's going on. We've got a new program going with our volunteers. We've got kind of a work list program where it's more organized, just not a lot of sticky notes stuck on a wall someplace about the projects we're working on. Trying to get Coach 60, little exterior work. It's got some water leaks in it that we're finding. Well, we need to put tarps on it, but also trying to get some of the leaks sealed up. It's an old coach, and the clear story has some rust in it. There's rust in the sides, so we're trying to keep it going, patch it together, and maybe get some paint on it. So that's what's going on with us. Ideally, we like to open Mother's Day weekend, provided the track is cleared. So anyway, that's all I have. Does anybody have anything? Any questions for BYCX? Sure. Neil.
Is the steam engine going to be ready for Mother's Day or?
Well, steam engine, typically we bring it out on Father's Day. Right now we're focusing on getting the track cleaned up and getting it brushed out so we can move the cars out of the mill area that PBJR has asked us to move. And we're abiding by that, you know, trying to stay on good terms with them. But once we get that track work done, then we'll be focusing on the steam engine. We do have one new volunteer that's available during the week, and he's a maintenance mechanic in a lumber mill. And so he's a very competent welder, and he's offered to come up during the week if we get our steam mechanic down there at the same time and work with him during the week, and that'd be a good thing for us. Problem is most of our people are working during the week, so the work on the steam engine only gets done on the weekends. But ideally, we'd like to see it out Father's Day. It's just don't know which year. So the 1472 inspection is a calendar year. So as soon as we touch it or start putting tubes in it, that starts the clock running. So towards the end of last year, that's why we didn't work on it. We didn't want to lose a year. Anybody else have any questions?
I was just going to show everybody the pictures that you mentioned. So this is the rock face that you can see from the tracks looking up on the cliff. There's what fell down over the tracks. You can see the tree in the background.
Can you just pick those up?
There's Randy about to fall over the edge. Oh, sorry. Yes, Councillor Marshall, you have a question?
I just didn't catch what milepost is that?
Around
2385.
Thanks.
Halfway up the grade from the very old tunnel.
Is that near the tunnel?
Below the tunnel. The tunnel is
And this is at where?
Down below the tunnel, down the grade.
Down this way, this direction.
Towards town, towards the town.
Yeah.
And to kind of put it in perspective, this, if you can see my mouse, this rock right here, it's probably the largest that fell off the face. And it, my approximation is the size of Volkswagen Bug, but, you know, give or take a.
Heavier than a Volkswagen.
Yes.
Well, I remember.
Without a doubt.
From riding the train that it, that right near the tunnel, it's a rock cliff and just rock all the way down. It's amazing to me how that track stays on the side of that hill because it's, it's rock coming down and it's rock going that way, and it looks like a lot of loose rock too.
I think there's probably a shelf there that they blasted.
But it looks like loose rock down below there. It's like, I was amazed that it stays, the track stays there on the side of the hill. Is there anything new on the building?
No. we're still fiddling around with trying to come up with a lease from PVJR, which is required under the new lease between them and the county. And the document that we've marked up, their document, and submitted it to our attorney, and he hasn't gotten back to us yet. And then we're going to submit it to Eric.
Let me add on to that. The attorney, I sent him a note yesterday. He got back to us today. He's been tied up on a trial and hasn't had time to finish his comments on it. So that's coming. Hopefully we'll get that straightened out.
So there's no major stumbling blocks. It's just a matter of getting it ironed out, the word said.
Well, I don't know. We don't know. The problem is we're trying to ensure that we have longevity.
Yeah.
And the lease that he has doesn't ensure that. And we don't want to build a building and then get kicked off the tracks. Granted, he'd have to give the grant money back to the state, but he gets a nice building built in the process. And to round that out, he has helped with contractors, supplying us contractors who'd be interested in doing the work that he's used before, and they understand railroad stuff. So Eric is helping out, but again, we have trouble ensuring that we're going to be able to stay there.
And that's what's required to finalize the grant, isn't it?
We have to have 10 years after the building's completed. But his lease has a one-year cancellation in it.
Next 30 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. Doug said 30 days. Go ahead. You want to elaborate?
Well, his lease has 30 days. The county lease says he can take it back. The current one says he can take it back in a year if he develops freight business on the north end, which this quarry would be. So, you know, depends on which lease is in place at the time.
Yes. So the county's lease with PVJR, as you recall, has a lease back provision and then a sublease to BYCX. The lease also, that lease back provision ends after a given period of time, and I don't recall the date off the top of my head, but it's within a few years. There's also a provision in the lease that allows PVJR to access the Northern Line to run freight rail use. And when they do so, then they take on certain, you know, certain requirements for maintenance and things of that nature. But because the county is the underlying owner of the right-of-way, any lease between BYCX and PVJR will also include the county. It's going to be a three-party lease. The county has to sign off on it. So, you know, we'll work with you and work with PBJR on whatever lease needs to be done to get the building constructed out there. Ultimately, council makes that decision, though.
The previous county council, Bill Richardson, said that if we could get, in essence, a quitclaim on the Y property in Yakult, and that's the property, outside of the main line right of way. If we could get a quick claim on that from PBJR, that he would give, the county would give us a 30-year lease, which more than meets the requirements we need for the state. And we were going down that path thinking we were going to do that, and then it just kind of, Eric would never release that land. And that's, we've just been in a vortex going nowhere.
Randy, why don't we chat again? And I'll reach out to Eric as well, and we'll talk with our attorneys and see what we can do.
Okay. All right, anything else?
No, that's all for BYCX.
Okay, how about county activities?
Yeah, so first one is the bridge repair project. We have a final set of plans, specs, and estimate routing through county departments for, you know, sort of that final review before we try to get it out to bid. We're going to put that project out for bid in March. That date is currently pending approval of a hydraulic project application with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. So when we have that permit in hand, we'll be able to put that project out for bid. And again, the target is March. So that's going to cover the six timber trestle bridges, 6, 12, 18, 20, 23, and 25, and all of the priority repairs that were in the 2020 inspections by HDR. We've done inspections since then, and so we're providing those inspections to OTAC, who will be the engineer signing off on those plans. They've done their own detailed inspection, and you know, they're picking up, like Randy mentioned, the Bridge 23, sorry. Bridge 23 and the crushed, I think it's a
cap.
It's a cap, crushed cap that needs replacement. Yeah. So, you know, that's in their inspection as well. So we're gonna do all of those high priority repairs, piles, stringers, things of that nature, and get those bridges back into service. Construction will occur over the course of the summer months.
When, what's the, you said it's hopefully going out for bid in March. What's the bid cycle? How long?
Typical county bid is advertisement for 3 weeks, and then we review the bids, hopefully award to the low bidder, assuming that all bids are, you know, qualified and things of that nature, and then go on to award the contract. So month or so for that process to take place. Another month to get, you know, contractor on board, fully under contract, all the steps that have to go into play. So May.
So the earliest we would see somebody out there would be summertime?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe May. If things go really well, maybe construction starts as soon as May. You know, it really depends on how quickly the contract gets signed and how quickly a contractor may be able to, you know, mobilize and get out here.
Any chance that the imaginary bridge on the grade with the rocks on it could be included in that?
we'll do our best to get that work going as soon as possible. Yeah.
Could the Bridge 23 work be considered a repair and separate? Because it's just one timber.
I don't know.
Because that would be under, wouldn't that be under your minimum?
You mean
or maximum?
To do that repair, just that one thing prior to them starting work out there?
Yeah.
I'd have to look into that. I'm not sure, Randy.
Well, it'd be good for us because that, when that bridge was out of service before, we significantly stopped our runs.
Yeah.
You know, and because we didn't want to get into the detector. We didn't cross the highway.
Right.
And that's one of the things that people really like is to see the river,
yeah.
You know, cross
the river. I think that would be a great addition to any run that you guys make is going over that bridge for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be out of service at some point during the summer for construction because you're working over water, there's going to be you know, in-water work windows and things like that that we likely have to face from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So all of that's up to the contractor and their schedule, and we'll share that with you as soon as we have it.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
The other project that we're working on is the railroad, the rehabilitation of the roadbed. So I think I mentioned at our last meeting that we have XL Tech under contract, and I'm anticipating a kickoff meeting for that project. They'll be evaluating the line north of Battleground and determining the necessary, you know, repairs, replacement of cross ties, addition of ballast, things of that nature, as far north as Chilachi, and then we'll be working on, you know, what money we have remaining after the bridge repairs, and with the additional grant money, how much can we do? Will there be donated railroad ties that we can include in the project? You know, all of those things will be figured out over the next several months, and putting that, I think our tentative plan for getting that project out to bid is in the fall.
Is there any availability of grant money for picking up the dead ties? We've changed 175 ties, and we know that it's, what, $990 per dumpster plus $50 a ton to take them to the incinerator. Is there money out there that we can facilitate that?
$100 a ton.
Oh, it's 100 a ton?
Okay. So are you asking, like, as the county puts this project on the ground and we replace ties, that along the way we also pick up the BYCX ties that are have been replaced and are on the side of the
that right could away? Be one way, or do that's what I said, is grant money available now to just do that, just for hygiene?
I think that's something that we could evaluate, because I think it would make the most sense to do it all at once when a contractor's mobilized and then they're picking up all the loose ties. But so that's something we can look at.
Well, that might be, if they're going to do that, it might be something to use a couple of gondolas instead.
Yeah.
You know, rather than dumpsters. It's still got to get over to Wasco.
Right. Right. So,
okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then the railroad bridge management update. So we have the railroad bridge management plan has been finalized. That's going to go off to the FRA for their review and approval. The inspection reports are rolling in. I think I've received most. There's maybe two or three that I've not seen a draft of yet. We're sharing those with OTAC as they come in so that they can inform the bridge repair project. And then still waiting to see the load rating analyses for some of the bridges that we were able to load rate. And then the last update that I have is the freight rail dependent use. So community planning department had an RFP out, a request for proposals out to hire a consultant to help them with the freight rail dependent use. It's my understanding that the advertisement window for that is closed, and they've received a couple of proposals, and they're reviewing those proposals to select the most qualified consultant to help them with that project. And they've agreed to continue to provide me with updates for you all as that process goes along, and then at what point might the Railroad Advisory Board be involved in any of the public process for freight rail dependent use. So more to come on that. I think that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Any questions? Okay. We still have three vacancies on the board. As I told you before, that the City of Vancouver will continue to monitor our meetings, but do not want to be an active member of the board. The CREDC is similar, except they're not going to probably monitor us as closely. They will respond to requests that we have for needed information or anything like that, but they do not want to be a sitting member on the board. And the other vacant position is
Kent Cash.
Kent Cash, yes. the Port of Vancouver, they have chosen not to participate with the Railroad Advisory Board. And that's because of their interests in other projects they're doing, that they don't have time to work on anything related to work with the railroad, our railroad, going up into Chillicothe. So we have those three vacancies, and we have a, Kevin has done a proposed letter. I only had one comment on it. Did you pass out that letter?
I did not. I will share it right now.
Or it's actually a press release to go out seeking members.
Middle paragraph is...
Here we go. It's on the screen. Those online can see it. I think the middle paragraph is the meat of what we're asking for.
The only comment I have is the last sentence of that middle paragraph is opposed to saying also wanted, I'd say, also desirable instead of wanted.
There we go. On the fly.
Boy, that's on the fly.
Yeah.
And so then, if you all are good with this, we will get it out as soon as I can. The date is on here as February 13th. I don't know if we can actually get it out tomorrow. I have to check with our communications manager, Kaylee. But as soon as we can get it out, we'll get it out. And then that'll start the clock. We'll have applications due by, looks like, beginning of March. That, I'll adjust that date a few days here or there, depending on when we actually get this out. And then we can talk about a committee to evaluate those at the next meeting.
As you recall, we wanted to focus on some more specific things rather than just being open to the general public. We wanted to focus on some areas that would be more helpful to us than just general membership, because we've lost, you know, the ability of the city and CRIDC and the port to contribute to any comments and anything related to the railroad. So we're trying to get some more technical people involved in the process. Anybody have any problems with this? Questions, comments? Yes.
I put in an application. You need another application?
No. No, we have your application.
Okay, thank
pending.
You.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll make sure that your application is included with all the others that we receive.
Anybody opposed to this going out?
I already approved it.
Hmm?
They already approved the advertising.
Yeah, well, they already approved the advertising, but this letter, any comments about this particular press release? Nope. Okay, let's do it. John and I have signed off on the mission statement and the bylaws. Now I think it actually we signed off. I mean, we didn't have to sign off on the thing going into the code because that wasn't in there.
No, that wasn't it. So the mission and the bylaws, right, you signed, and then I will prepare a staff report and send that to Kathleen for her signature. Is it? And then those will be done. We'll get those posted on the website. And then the code we will have to send to council. So I'll be preparing the necessary information for that. I think it requires an ordinance.
Okay.
be drafted.
Okay. So this will go further up the line and get approved, and we'll be ready to go. As we've indicated before, there's not a lot of changes. Most of it's related to the new organization of the county that has never been updated. So that will be on its way. You have anything else, John, on old business, unfinished business?
Nope.
Any new business anyone wants to talk about? The one thing I would look at, as I want to suggest, and we probably ought to do some before and some after, but we ought to have another meeting of the group to sort of look at what we want to do going forward, because our complexion has changed a little bit since we had that first meetings. So we might want to meet and talk about some things we want to focus on going forward, and then as we get new members in, see what specialties they might have that help move that forward. So leave that up to you, John.
Is beer involved?
Hmm?
Is beer involved?
Is beer involved? Sure, as long as it's off county premises.
Yeah. Well, I thought the county would buy.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Okay, anybody else have any new business? Any public testimony?
I have some.
Sure.
Work. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, some of you probably know that I've been working on a trolley that putting in a battery for the last 5 years. Well, last Monday, we got that battery-powered trolley on the tracks, and it's running now. In Memorial Day, we'll start having passengers on it, and it's in Lake Oswego, so it's a ways from here. But it's going to be called, it was 514 was the original name for it, but it's going to be the Bill Nadeau trolley, because Bill Nadeau was the one that got the four trolleys in Portland. But I've got some flyers over there, the history of Portland. If you're any history nuts might want to, I've got two copies of the Oregon Transfer that talks about the history of Portland. By 1894 in Portland, they had 160 miles of track in Portland. They didn't come to Vancouver until 1908, when they built the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. And then in 1917 and 18, they built the Interstate Bridge. So that's when the trolleys started coming across. Before, it was just steam-powered passenger trains going across the Burlington Northern. So I've got two copies over there if anybody's interested in history. And I've also got a description of the Bill Nadeau trolley that anybody can have.
Okay. What track is that trolley running on?
It's a Southern Pacific line that was built in 1887. And it went from Lake Oswego to Dundee, 1886. In 1887, they extended it from Lake Oswego to Portland, and it came in on Jefferson Street, and it was called Jefferson Street Line.
And that track is still intact now?
Well, it was narrow gauge. Now it's standard gauge, and we've had upgrades. It's 100, it's got 90-pound rail now, but we think we can get some federal grant money to increase it to 115-pound, and it'll be Class 2, but we'll only be able to run on 15 miles an hour because we're right in the neighborhoods. We got some right-of-ways that are 18 feet wide, so we got one house that we actually go through. They had a permit to build this house across their tracks over the top, and we run through this house. It's really, really a unique excursion railroad line. There's some flyers over there.
What is the range of the electric battery?
First, we said it was 48 miles, and we got a 12-mile run
we make four trips a day. So after we started running it last week, I think we'll be able to get 60 miles out of it, whether we have more trips or not. But we made it so we can... How much charge?
How long to recharge?
All night. We charge it overnight, and it runs all day long for... And it seems...
And it's just excursion at this point?
Yes, at this time. Streetcar may start running on that line in the near future, but right now we've been running excursion since the 80s, 1980s, and we had another trolley that was... We ran the motors out, and they started smoking, so we've been trading trolleys back and forth. But now these are modern trolleys that this 514 is on. It was built in 1991. It was patterned after the trolleys that were built in 1903 and went up to Council Crest. So if anybody wants to read a little bit about it, there's two sheets that has the Oregon transfer, which is mentioned about the history of Portland, and the other sheets are just talking about 514, the Bill Nato trolley. So any questions? All right. Thanks. Okay. Any other public testimony?
Anybody online? Raise your hand or just come off mute. And,
okay.
Jackie Lane?
I have public testimony.
Do you?
Okay.
Hold on a second. Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay. Hi there. I just wanted to say you had at one time a community representative on the RRAB who helped with facilitate conversations. And I always thought his presence on the board was very respectful. I would hope that you guys would consider doing that again instead of only having people with railroad experience on your board. Thank you. That's all.
Just in response, we do have a neighborhood person on the board now. But he's not, you're not currently involved in the neighborhood association, but you're still a neighborhood person.
You were when you came on the board.
I was when I came on the board, but I haven't been associated with neighborhood for about 5 years.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I would argue I represent the neighborhood around Amboy. I'm not a railroad.
Anybody live in Amboy?
So we do have some representatives still on the board.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I wasn't able to hear any of that because that person was not near a mic.
Well, we have Neil Chambers, who came on as a neighborhood person, has not been involved in the neighborhood association recently, but he is not a railroad trained person, if you will. And we have Jim Milanowski, who is a neighborhood person in Amboy.
And on the board of the museum in Amboy.
And he's on the board of the museum in Amboy.
Thank you.
Anybody else online? All right, not seeing anybody. John, go ahead. Okay. But you have to turn your mic on first.
Okay. I was doing this as a public statement because when I spoke up about my feelings about Eric, I ended up being the guy people would contact about things going on with the railroad, and people weren't calling up to tell us what a great job we're doing. So I get some emails, I get some phone calls, and most of the phone calls are very nice. Some of them aren't nice, but most of them are very nice. But I have two emails that are kind of important for going forward, because I think the railroad can be a very important part of the community, but it also has to have the support of the community. It's not going to have the support of the entire community. You know, I don't think anything that ever happens in Clark County is going to have everybody saying, yeah, let's go. But you got to have the support of the majority of the community. And apparently,
what do they call that property by Curtain Creek? Barberton?
Barberton is, yeah, that's the area.
Okay, the people that live next to Barberton, I don't know if this is a new group or it's called the, let me see, Friends of Central Vancouver, which sent the, sent everybody an email, all the commissioners and Dan and I and Kevin and it looks like 20 people. But anyhow, it's about that site over there. And they sent a lot of pictures and, and this is on the area where, just like the area up at Slatcha Prairie where they had a stop work order. And it says the pictures clearly show a number of trucks on Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad Barberton property with full lights on during all hours of the night. Such a display of trucks and glaring lights on this property is a clear indication to us who are residents of the area that is adjacent to Barberton property that both Eric Temple and Mike Lebowski, who's the owner of the trucking company, want to punish neighbors for our work that has exposed their environmental degradation and lack of permits regarding the area next to our watershed and Curtain Creek wetlands. There is no doubt that this is a clear retaliation, and it appears that the storage of the trucks on this property violates the edict set forth by USAACE, EPA, DOE, and the county. So we have a new group out there. And if what they say that these, the noise the semi-trucks create begins at any time from 4 a.m. onward, and apparently they're at the elevation of the second story windows. And those of us that were on the group that did all this stuff, apparently there's no buffering zones that we worked so hard on, and so that's just one of the things that whatever this consultant's going to be is going to face. The other thing was they sent me a letter that Eric Temple sent in 2018, and it was right at the beginning of our group on the FRDU. And he sent it to a bunch of people, all the county commissioners, and sent it to Jose. This is from Jose Alvarez. This must have been on a Freedom of Information request or something. And it says, one of the items discussed in great detail at the recent work session was the issue of hazardous materials. At the risk of causing a little uproar and knowing that this won't be a popular email, the staff is not familiar with federal law. As the owner of a railroad, both Clark County and PBJR have a common carrier obligation. 49 USC 11101 is crystal clear that a railroad company is required to provide transportation to all parties upon reasonable requests, including hazardous materials. Nothing in 5517, any state law, nor any county or city code can change this. In reality, if some company routed 100 cars of crude oil to Brush Prairie, both Clark County and the PVJR would be legally obligated to deliver them. Same goes for whatever the worst possible items you can imagine. Now, this happened, this was sent before we really got into our meetings, and we had hundreds of conversations about, you know, not allowing hazardous material on the rail line. And Eric shook his head, yes, 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 and clearly knowing that that was never going to happen. So we got a little credibility we're going to have to get over. 5517 is going to be enacted. And I only bring that up because we need to know what we're going to be looking at going forward and what people are sending me. And I don't mind being the guy that gets this stuff. I mind a little bit when people are yelling at me, I got to tell you. But like I say, most of them are very polite, and they want to know if, you know, what I think, and I tell them, I just listen. If you got something you want me to give to the group, I'll get it. But I say, if you really want to get it to the group, send it to him, because he gets paid to get yelled at,
and I don't. So anyhow, those are the only things that I've got so far, and I just wanted, since they are public people, I wanted to put that in the public testimony part.
And just so everyone knows, John was pointing at me, Kevin Tyler, Railroad Advisory Board Coordinator, so if you want to send any information for the greater good, send it this way.
There you go.
There is some difference in, I guess, splitting the hairs, if you will. I mean, he may be obligated to carry that up the track if someone requires him to carry it up the track. The issue with 5517 is that the building or the activity that's allowed on property in Clark County under 5517 has restriction, will have restrictions on what can and can't be used there. So if a guy's going to build a big storage tank for crude oil or whatever, it's not going to be allowed under 5517 in any way that we recommended, certainly with the FRDU. So there's a different issue here, and one is, you know, whether, yes, he may be obligated to carry that up the track, but they can't have a plant up there that processes it or does anything with it once it gets up there. So there are some safeguards in that process.
What if the guy's building it as a railroad?
So what if the property was owned by Eric and was a transload facility? Would he still be obligated to offload those?
I don't know the answer. That's a legal issue that I don't know the answer to, but that's possible to have an issue that way.
And that's something we're going to have to address too. You know, I mean, for people to welcome us in their community, they have to be sure that bad things aren't going to happen.
And on, you know, both John and I served on the FRDU committee, and we were all adamant about that we did not want that kind of activity going on, whether it's transloading or whether it's housed there or anything else. That was not an issue with respect to development of the property alongside the railroad track. Okay, any other comments? Anybody? Anything else for the good of the order? What? Adjournment?
No.
What else?
I've been doing a lot of thinking about what we have become. You know, I've been doing this, like 15 years? And there's a lot of excuses for what we have become, and I'll get into that in a second. And there's a lot of excuses, and some of them are we haven't had a full-time manager. You know, I started with Fred, and Fred worked my butt off. You know, we met with legislators, you know, in the off session. You know, he and I went around, we met with every state legislator, we met with the congressional reps in this area, and you know, we had Jeff Swanson, who was an excellent guy that kept us on our toes, and you know, John Holliday, you know, at least kept us informed what's going on. We had a rail day every year where we went out to Olympia, we met with our elected officials, and we were busy and we were accomplishing stuff. And when you join a group, you know, you're taking valuable time. You know, there's other things that you could do with your time. And I like working and I like accomplishing stuff. And we haven't been doing that. You know, we didn't have a rail day because Eric said he didn't want us up there. He said, I'll call you if I need you. And he hasn't needed us. You know, the, what's the name of that bill? 1371 that they've been working on, which is getting tax credit, sales tax credit for donated material. You know, we haven't, when was the last time we had an update on, you know, a legislative update from anybody? Well, it passed last Thursday at the House, and it passed, I think it was unanimous. And that's $1 million a year, sales tax credit for donated material. That's a big win, at least in the House. It's gone to the Senate right now. But I mean, part of being in this group is, you know, when you go up there, you get to meet those people. Even when we don't have an ask, you get to meet those people. Hey, keep us in your thoughts, because sometimes in the middle of session, something comes down and, hey, I could put a little money towards the railroad in that. And, you know, you might get $100,000, you might get a couple, $200,000. But we haven't been doing that. I love you guys. I like coming to meetings and talking and stuff, but you know, we could do this in a bar too. I'd like to, you know, be accomplishing something. And with the stuff that's going on up at Slash Prairie, I got a feeling we took a couple steps back this year. I thought we had a chance to get ahead of this, and we decided not to do that, but at least we made a decision and we did it. I'm just not sure where we're going forward on this. You know, they're going to hire a consultant to run this thing through. And those of you that were on the committee, you'll be glad to know that these guys are superhuman, because they're going to do everything in 5 easy steps. They're going to take all the public problems and they're going to take care of it in 3 public meetings. And if any of you guys are around here for the Hawkinson meeting, there's going to be 3 of those. And so the step one is 3 public meetings. Step two is non-project SEPA checklist. Step three is a review of draft and development regulations. Step four is draft adopting ordinances. And step five is a legislative process. Work through the Planning Commission and work session and public hearings with the County Council, and all be done by the end of August. These guys are superhuman. Yeah, so God bless them.
So with this new coordinator that they're hiring for the freight rail dependents, would he be coming to our meetings and informing us as to what's happening in the process? Is that part of the plan?
I don't know the plan.
Not on the list.
Yeah, so the community planning is running the freight rail dependent use process, and they're hiring a consultant to help them with that. And when I say consultant, that's probably a team of people that will be involved, but there will be community engagement. And I've talked with community planning about how the Railroad Advisory Board would like to be involved. And so as soon as I know more about that, I will share it with you. And I will continue to relay your interest in the process. So I don't have an answer for you right now, but I will get one. Yeah.
But I think that's something that we need to talk to think about. You know, we're not going to solve right now, but you know, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go?
That's why I'm asking you to get that process moving at this point, and if there's something else that we need to be doing.
I may not be that guy.
One question I want to ask, when the FRDU was in process, every communication that came out was sent to this board also. We have not gotten one piece of mail directly from the planning group directly to this board. You have gotten some, which we found about later, that should have gotten to us, but they have not sent one thing. I got all of the information that came from Oliver, all the information that came from Jose on that first effort. I have got nothing since then on this last effort. Now, if you're getting it and not sending it to us, shame on you. But we're not getting one thing directly from them. And I've missed some meetings that I would have gone to because I didn't follow the calendar of the council close enough, but there was no communication directly with this board.
All I can say is I will ask again, Daniel.
John, I need a microphone. Yes, so thank you.
Michael O'Connell, former property owner and supporter of railroad activity. I may be just ignorant in this question to you, but I'm with you in terms of there's a time to think about stuff and there's a time to do something in addition to thinking about it. And is this out of our purview? I mean, why would we be dependent on Eric as to whether we could go up and interface with legislators? Is there something that I'm not aware of that prevents that? Because that's to me one way of action that could facilitate a better understanding of what's going on down here with those folks up there. That's just a question I don't have an answer to.
Well, it's an odd time right now.
Yes.
You know, in the past, I mean, for 14 of my 15 years, Dan and I have been Eric's biggest supporters.
Yes.
You know, we go up there with our pom-poms in Olympia and you know, I think that, you know, I don't think Eric wants part of our message. And part of me, I don't know. You know, when he says, hey, you know, we're working on stuff, if you need any talk to Dan about it, and Dan, you know, I think Dan agreed with him, and I understand that. You know, if we get this money, it's important to the railroad.
Yeah.
And hopefully Eric can be brought in line, and then it's all good again. But it's an odd time right now.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted.
I get that, and I'm not going to prolong my comments here, but the other thing that bugs me, frankly, is if we have board members, I think they ought to be here. There's a lot of absences right now, and probably some of them are totally justified, but if you're signing up for a board, for a membership on a board, I think presence is important. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yep, I agree.
Let me just mention the other thing about going to Olympia. It has to be an organized thing, and you have to get on the agenda of some people up there.
Sure.
Even John and I calling as a position on a board doesn't get much voice in Olympia.
Right.
So you almost have to have an advocate for you up there. And Eric does have Amber Carter,
yes,
who is very active
pretty
up there.
Pretty
and,
good.
The county, I think, uses people here to get on the agendas up there and when they need to. But that has fallen by the wayside. They've opted not to involve us in those discussions.
Yeah, I understand, Dan. Thank you. The last thing I was going to say, and I think maybe Jim's covered it already, the article that was in the historical magazine by Greg Harrington with Kevin's input is a really good article, good historical article about the railroad. And I would just invite everybody to take the opportunity to read it from beginning to end, because it's well worth reading. Thank you.
Okay.
Got a question?
Yes.
So last month or whatever, I mean, it's been a hot topic for the last couple of times we've been here, and particularly with the new road that was being put in. And it sounded like the state, what is it, Department of Ecology, was, I'll guess say, the front runner in this thing. Is there any update on that as to what's going on?
Yeah, I can provide an update. And you know, we're doing our best to keep the information updated on the county website too, so if you are interested, you can go look at that for, you know, what's the latest. But both Department of Ecology and the Environmental Protection Agency are involved. So the EPA took lead federal agency status. That was transferred to them by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And then, so they are, you know, the EPA is continuing their work and investigation and, you know, working with Eric Temple's company at both Chillachi and at the site in Barberton. And then Department of Ecology is, has asked for PVJR to apply for a construction stormwater general permit coverage for the entire line. And it's my understanding that they submitted an application and that they're working through the whatever process for that application to be considered complete so that it can be reviewed. I don't know the current status of that right now, but and then the agencies were here in town last week and visiting a couple of different sites. I participated in one of those site visits. So I think that's about the most I can say about it right now. That's what I know.
So I guess the question that I would have is the Environmental Protection Agency, are they preempting the state of Washington? Or is Washington just throwing up their hands and allowing the Environmental Protection Agency to do this because it's
So I think it's there's some distinctions. So that the EPA, I believe, is taking jurisdiction for certain sections of the Clean Water Act. I think section 404 would be like dredge and fill material in waters of the United States would be one that they're taking jurisdiction. And then Department of Ecology is also asserting jurisdiction for a different section of the Clean Water Act. And I want to say it's 402, section 402 of the Clean Water Act. And that's related to the control of pollutants from active construction sites. So they're similar but different, I guess, is kind of the best way to describe it. So the ecology is still taking jurisdiction just in a different way. But I think they're also pursuing their authority under the state revised code of Washington for protection of waters of the state.
Well, if it's the EPA, it would have to be the U.S. code. But so I did a little checking, and so I went to the FRA and I went to the Surface Transportation Board. And so it really comes up with them. It was like for the Surface Transportation Board, it was 49 U.S.C. 10501 Part B, SDB or whatever on there. And really, you don't have to memorize that. But at the end of the day, when they came back, they said generally FRA and SDB don't weigh in on preemption on there. So they are kind of washing their hands of it. And they essentially say it's up ultimately up to the courts to decide. So I didn't know whether there's some court action or something else going on here. But they said they can. They always have the right to do it, but they're not, I guess, particularly interested in anything that's going on.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any court actions and or petition to the Surface Transportation Board or anything of that nature. What I understand is the agencies, the federal and state agencies that are involved, are communicating directly with Eric Temple, and he appears to be cooperating because he's allowing them access to his properties. And you know, we've been copied on various correspondence, which, you know, we talk about on the website, you know, and we've asked to be included in, you know, any future correspondence so we know what's going on, since we do have a lease with PVJR. So
And then I just maybe have more of a comment to make or whatever, because we talked about moving forward to things that we want to do or how we want to do it. And, you know, the situation with the county and the railroad and everything else is, I want to say, seems a little awkward to me as I look at how everything works together. I'm not saying it's bad or anything like that. As a matter of fact, it's probably good. It's probably very good for the county employees because they actually get a say-so in the railroad, which ultimately wouldn't happen if it was a privately owned railroad. There would be no say-so. Things would just get done on there. But so it makes me wonder sometimes. I mean, because, you know, I talk to a lot of shoreline people. You know, there's tax credits for a number of miles and things like that. So, you know, you really don't, personally, I don't really understand the finance or who would claim that or whatever. And I wonder in the back of my mind, is anybody claiming it? You know, it may not be that much money for this small railroad, but, you know, it's a little bit of money. And, you know, that money, it's like $3,500 per mile, you know, for track maintenance and things of that nature. It's, you'd hate to see it over the years that this does not go used, you get utilized. And, you know, but I have no idea knowing where, whether Eric would claim that, whether the county would claim that on there. And I don't know whether, you know, it's very beneficial for short lines to be a member of the Short Line Association. I don't know if Eric is. Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So I didn't know whether Eric would be or whether the county would be, because you mentioned plans like bridge plans and stuff like that. And that's where the Shoreline Association really comes in handy, because they, a lot of times they have boilerplate plans, and you can grab them off the rack and you know, apply what you need to your bridge program, and it saves you a lot of money and stuff on there. And the other thing was, moving forward, you know, I talked to a variety of people. Matter of fact, I was talking to a guy today, and there's some new technology out there. I don't know if people here are too familiar with slide fences, but if you would have had a slide fence out there where that rock came down, you know, somebody would have been notified. But since it's such a slow speed operation, they probably would have stopped anyway. But so, but on the other hand, there is some new technology out here as far as like bridge structures, things like that. And one of the people I was talking to, you know, sometimes they look for a test bed. It's, and that, like I said, sometimes they'll do that for free just to get the new technology out there and to see how it works. Of course, once again, I don't know if you go to the county or you go to Eric, you know, or, you know, maybe Eric wouldn't be receptive to stuff like that. But I don't know. But
I think the county and, you know, I don't want to speak for Eric, but I mean, he's, based on the information that, you know, I've seen from him, I think he would be open to new technology that would be a benefit to the railroad, right? So if there's stuff like that that you know of and you want to pass it along to me and I can send it along to Eric, you know, that would be fine. He and I have corresponded about the American Short Line Association, and we did put that to use with some things in the recent past. So he's a member and he's open to the county, you know, being a part of that and using some of those templates that are available. So
they did have a program for locomotives, brand new locomotives that were fully electric. And it was, somebody's for almost a freebie. You might have to get rid of a locomotive to get a free locomotive. And I'm not sure how they would work, but they, you know, sound like they will work. But I've always been a fan of free.
It's a big plug, though.
Yeah, plug and play. I've been a fan of free. If it's free, I'll go for it.
Yep.
just to speak about what you indicated, and it's nothing against Kevin, but a dedicated railroad coordinator, somebody that is here, and that's his primary purpose. He may be doing other things too, but his primary purpose is dedicated to the railroad, would be on top of those kinds of things. We had Fred in the beginning, and then we've had Jeff Swanson, who was very good at that. And on the technical side, John Holliday was very good at it. He wasn't the PR guy that went to the Olympia and stuff. But they were on top of that stuff all the time because they lived the railroad, unlike what Kevin is doing, is it's a side gig for him. You don't know how many times that I've talked to the county in various forms and fashions that we need a railroad coordinator if they want to maximize the value of the railroad. They need to have somebody dedicated to it. But as you know, everything has a cost, and the county has chosen to spend their money elsewhere.
No, that's good. I like that.
I'll have you a free locomotive tomorrow.
You get a free locomotive, and
we'll buy you a beer if you get a free locomotive.
We'll put you in charge.
Jim, can you put on your mic?
Anyway, the point is,
I think the thoughts that Mark, you said and everything, I think it's nice. We should probably try and do more, even though we think maybe we've done enough, because, people are territorial, and I think that's probably part of the problem. But the railroads in this country are for the betterment of the communities that they go through, and it's no denying that sometimes it's not a good thing to be smelling diesel and stuff. I'd hate that when I go down the road and stuff, and I have a diesel truck in front of me, but. Anyway, I think some of the comments you said about, a couple of people, trying to talk to the community. I know that didn't work up there, when we had the community meeting.
Whenever you talk to a group of people, it's going to be some people you're never going to get to. There's going to be some people that like you, but you're talking to the people in the middle, the ones that'll listen to, to reason.
Yeah.
I mean, even the people that live on the railroad, they know there ain't a lot of trains going by their house. And when these people say, oh, God, in a year or two, there's going to be unit trains going down the TBJR. No, they're not.
Well, just some of the things that Mark said were really kind of, maybe something that we could look at with, some other people involved too,
maybe our focus needs to be on the community more than the actual railroad itself. I mean, that's a
I think what if we're going to do this sort of thing, we need to focus on the benefits. Battleground School District would profit tremendously if we had more commercial and industrial development out in North County. And, that school district, which I have a graduate of, is constantly short of money. and it's because of they don't have a proper mix of tax base. So I, and the other thing, from my energy perspective, we've got to start getting off fossil fuels. And rail is so much more efficient than any other form of transportation, that anything we can do to move freight and passengers onto rail will benefit us from a climate change perspective. So I think the arguments for rail nationally and the arguments for rail locally are strong, and I think there needs to be more emphasis on that.
And I don't think everybody realize how important this 5517 is, because, you know, we put a lot of money in the railroad, and even though it's sitting on public property, it's really a private railroad. And everybody that's come onto the board has said, well, why are we putting so much public money into a private railroad? And the answer has always been is that we're going to bring in all these businesses, and the taxes and increased property taxes are going to pay, and it's more than going to offset the money that we put in the railroad. Now, if 5517 doesn't get enacted, or is, you know, down to nothing in scope, then there aren't going to be all those jobs that we talked about. So then you start saying, well, maybe we are giving a lot of public money away to a private individual who happens to live a few doors down from Bill Gates in Medina, Lake Washington. So what are we doing here? So that's why 5517 is so important. And I got concerns. You know, Dan and I put on a big dog and pony show with the county councilors about bringing all Lagler into the property, or into the 5517. And, you know, just 2 days earlier, Eric went into him and said, no, I don't need that big deal. I just need this little piece of property over here that you guys have already approved. And we still don't know why he did that, do we? Do you?
Pretty good idea.
You know, what I worry about is, if he pressures rock up in Schlasher Prairie, he needs the outlet yard someplace. And if he put a rock yard next to Lauren Middle School, you know, we're kind of done. Our asphalt plant needs a place for one of those too.
Can I make a point?
Sure, go ahead. We're not putting the trolley in the direct prairie.
Okay. Some of the information came out of the discussion of that rock quarry up there. They mentioned that it'd be 50 trains a day coming out of that. But that was a misprint or something. But I read something, and I got some people, but it should be carloads is different than a train.
A day.
Yeah.
If they're lucky, they might get 20.
Yeah, I know, but they said it was 50 trains.
No.
And people would think a mile-long train going by my house, that's got some people riled up. Well, so it was a misprint.
The applicant, when he went in to get that in the aggregate overlay, he submitted drawings and said it was going to be, what, 5 million tons a year? Some hellacious number. And so, yeah. Well, I mean, if they have a rock yard and an asphalt plant, you know, they could do 2 million tons a year with that.
But it should be carloads instead of trains. Trains is people thinking it's a mile-long train going by their school.
Well, you only have about 60 trains a day up here on the main line, so I doubt you're going to get 50 off of the short haul.
That 66-pound track up there would be worn out overnight.
Yeah. Well, if this if this new law passes.
It's public con-
He'll get
perception.
All right. Anything else?
No, let's go on.
Okay. Anybody want to vote for adjournment?
No, we would just want to stay here.
Then you can take over the meeting.